Hey everybody, Bob WP here, and welcome to Open Web Conversations Accessibility Insights, a Do the Woo podcast show. Woo! Woo! Web accessibility is all about breaking down barriers that prevent visitors from interacting with your content. It's as simple as that. And yes, that is a quote from our sponsor, GoDaddy. So if you are looking to build a site and are looking for hosting, or perhaps you're looking for a domain name, go to GoDaddy.com. I'll tell you more about them later in the show, but let's get into the conversation.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Accessibility Insights. And in fact, we've changed the name of the show. It used to be All Things WordPress and Accessibility, but Bob granted me the honor to make it Accessibility Insights. It means we can go broad inside of the topic of e-commerce and accessibility. I'm your host. My name is Annemieke Bovelet. I am Dutch. I live in Germany in a city with a complex name, and usually people call me Anne. And if you ever have questions about accessibility in e-commerce, come and find me. My credentials are everywhere. And today with me, I have the super host and founder of Do the Woo, Bob Dunn. He's usually sticking around to do all the recordings and help us with that. But today he is part of the accessibility conversation in e-commerce. And another friend of mine here, Bud Kraus. And I had the pleasure of speaking with Bud recently. It was so much fun. It was a while ago that I saw him in real life. I remembered that very well. It was in Athens. And so I spontaneously asked Bob yesterday, I think, would you like to come on to the show? Because I enjoyed talking to him so much. It is fluid. It is good. It's real. And this is what I like in a good podcast. So, Bud, can you introduce yourself? Because not everybody knows who you are.
That's for sure. Thank you, Annemieke. Hello, everybody. My name is Bud Kraus. I'm a WordPress content creative who's also visually impaired. I guess that's one of my main credentials here. Find myself struggling from time to time with e-commerce websites.
All right. People ask me often, like, what do you do? And this is really complex to explain to someone who's not into web design, development, and so on. But at some point, I found the description where I said, well, people like me are working to teach others how to make sure that your grandma doesn't have to call you when she wants to order something online, right? So that would be a great definition. And as we are speaking about e-commerce, web shops, I think this is important for people to hear what it's like for you to go online. And actually, if I think and put myself in the shoes of the owners or creators of web shops, this might be a very enlightening episode, right? The risk we all have is that if they get really good at making their shops accessible, that's going to cost us a lot of money because we would be spending more online, right? But I want to start off with something positive. So I'm going to ask you first, Bud. Is there a web shop online that you really love where you are like, okay, if I have to go there and I have to order something online, that goes in a breeze?
You know, that's an interesting question. And I'm trying to think because, believe it or not, I can only think of things that I don't like, but that's not what I'm supposed to tell you. I think Amazon is really good. I think it's really good. They're very customer focused, obviously. And I think ordering and reordering is their genius. I think it's really easy to reorder stuff that you've already ordered. So I'm going to list Amazon. Now, I think if I don't like the mega, here we go with that, don't like, but I'm not crazy about mega menus. I generally cannot stand them. But Amazon does a really good job with the way they present lots of links when you hover over the main navigation. So kudos to Amazon. But if you want me to talk about, and I know you haven't asked this yet, what are some of the barriers? Well, I have plenty of those.
Well, we will get to that in a minute. So it's important, you know, to if these things, even for the developers of Amazon, can be painful, right? And I like to come from yes, and I really want to hear from you guys the things that you don't like about it, but I also love to hear what you do like about it. It is giving people courage, right? So, Bob, the same question for you. Is there a web shop where you're like, oh, yeah, that one is so cool, I can really use it?
I begrudgingly say Amazon, too, because, yeah, I mean, you know, that's probably where I shop most online, where I live now. But I will also say any site that gives me the option to shop and translate into English without using the browser English has a big plus for me.
Right. So you're talking about the option just to switch the language.
Yeah. Oh, not have to count on your browser, because sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't.
Oh, yeah. Or Google Translate gives you some really weird things if they have that installed, right? Okay. Well, a web shop that I particularly like, for example, is, I don't know if it's in the U.S., in Germany, in the Netherlands, we have it. It's called Zalando. And it's a shop for clothes and stuff. And then maybe you'll go like, oh, yeah, she's a girl. She likes to buy clothes. No, I shop online because I hate to buy clothes. And this is also an important thing because, okay, compared to you guys, I might be a young flower, but I'm 54 myself. And I notice that things are getting more difficult. Contrasts, things are not easy to use. And so to me, Zalando is a positive example. For me, Amazon is a nightmare. Many things are moving. So many things are happening. And I know this has to do with me having cognitive issues like ADHD. And I have dyscalculia and I have a very strange form of dyslexia. So the way information is presented is very important. And it's so interesting to hear that you guys really like it. And the point you mentioned, Bud, where it's easy to order and reorder, that's a great thing. And didn't Amazon had all the rights on the one-click checkout for 100 years?
And that's absolutely the magic secret to their sauce is that, what you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Which propelled them into the stratosphere, right?
Oh, yeah, it did, right? So can you also mention a web shop, Bud, where you're like, I wish it worked for me. I would buy there.
Yes. And I'm going to broaden it out, if you don't mind, because it is e-commerce, at least I think so, is airline tickets. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
The ultimate nightmare for everyone. It is so out of my reach that my wife has to do all the bookings. I cannot book on a, I just totally freeze. There's just too much information. There's too many options. There's too many barriers to getting something accomplished in a reasonable period of time. That's partly to do with the nature of the industry. That's partly to do with the way this is all presented online. So I don't even attempt it anymore. I have just totally just, you know, and she can't stand it because she also has a lot of problems with it too.
Did it ever make you choose another airline?
I don't even go there anymore. I mean, I don't even, you know, I'm almost like allergic to booking tickets online. I mean, I can't do it.
But you travel a lot.
Yeah, well, she does it. And not only that, but in general, almost any ticket booking system is a nightmare for me. I almost can't breathe anymore when I see these booking systems.
I hear you. Yeah. I have the same problem. I just go to the travel agency here in the city center and I say, do it for me. I don't care if I have to pay more.
Right.
And airlines actually lose customers over that. And for you, Bob?
I can't think specifically because it just scattered, you know, kind of all over. One of the frustrating things I find is sites that really go sideways when you like block pop-ups and stuff. You know, if you have a browser and you have it set and how many times I move from one browser to the next and it works perfectly in one browser. And I spent the last 10 minutes in the other one. A couple of sites I'm on and they're specific over here in Europe. Every time I try to type something in, it it doesn't type it. It just goes backwards or it starts going to the end and starts putting in weird characters. I have no idea what's going on, if it's something in my browser. And the only way I can use it, and some of them are kind of important to me and they're the only option I have, is to cut and paste the content into each field, which is,
you know, in fact, to me, that sounds a bit like a browser issue. Did you ever try to open that an incognito window where all your extensions are off?
Yeah, sometimes I do, and sometimes that works, and sometimes I do, sometimes it doesn't work.
Well, this brings me to another interesting question, right? Because in fact, web stores and physical stores have some things in common in a way most people don't expect. So imagine this, you're in a shopping street, shopping mall somewhere, and you're walking into a store and you were impulsed by something. You're like, oh yeah, let me get that in the store right away. Okay. Now, I know for a lot of people, this is in the US that live in big areas where malls are not everywhere. This is maybe a less lived reality, but in Europe, we have lots of small stores and small villages, right? And malls inside these villages. And this is all right. So I'm sidetracking. Sorry. Happens to me all the time. This is ADHD 101. Absolutely. So anyway, so the reason why I'm saying it is my experience when I'm in the US and I go to a mall, everything is well organized. There is air conditioning, the stores are clean. People are very service-minded. They will come and welcome you so much more than here in Europe, okay? I'm going to say something that the Germans are not going to like, and I don't care that I live here, and I come into a store here, and they're grumpy. They're not even happy to see me.
Wow.
I'm going to drop some money on their counter, and they're not happy to see me. And if they're not happy enough, you know, I'm like, you know what? I was going to say something really rude, but I'll say, go sit on a cactus. Okay, so I'm walking out, and then if these are friendly people and you are in this store and it stinks a little, maybe someone stepped in dog poop just before you, or maybe the sewer is, something's wrong with the sewer. It happens everywhere, right? And then you're in the store, and then slowly your brain starts telling you, I still have to feed the cats. Oh, maybe I can order this online. Your brain is going to give you all kinds of reasons to move out, all right? And mostly, most of us are not even aware that that is what is happening. We just want to move out of a situation. It's the same thing with web shops. Like, I came onto Zara today just to show someone something, and there is this video screaming in my face. It doesn't stop moving. I cannot make it stop. So I will never order something there.
Well, I wanted to bring up two things. One is Bob, this really goes back to what he was saying a little bit ago. Anytime you have content that overlaps with other content, that is not a good experience. Along that idea is these chat windows that you see on usually the lower right-hand corner. They are so inaccessible or difficult to work with, usable, accessible, however you want to define that. Boy, if you couldn't see anything, I wonder how you could even use this. But even for people like me that do have good usable vision, I have a problem, like a lot of times, closing the window, opening the window, moving the window, you know, all that kind of collapsing the window, all that kind of stuff that just, and it's covering up content that I need to see in order to communicate with the person.
Yeah. How do you feel about something opening things in new tabs when you are on your mobile?
Well, okay. I generally don't use mobile because it's very hard for me to navigate. So that tells you something right there. Okay. So even the best sites, when it comes to buying stuff, I don't think I've ever bought anything on mobile. So that really does tell you something, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I just realized that. So I'm really just talking about desktop. And the other thing I wanted to mention about was there are a lot of websites, any website really, not just necessarily e-commerce, that have these little info icons that when you hover over them, a little pop-up like tooltip shows up. Well, for some of us, we actually have a hard time reading those. So we'll just highlight it and let the speaker, let your computer talk to you. But a lot of times you can't do that. So if you hover over that bubble, it disappears. So that's another, and I'm not just saying this is obviously just for e-commerce, it's just for websites in general.
This is for everywhere. Yeah, that's a really great point.
Now, one last thing I want to throw in, which is, I think this is, and this is also goes to the grumpy persons that you were talking about, that it's so important for websites to stay in touch with their customers at the pre-sale, sale, post-sale, all those different points. I'll give you a case in point. I just signed up with Big Scoots for one of my sponsors for my podcast to be my web host. Okay. And they told me that they would be very hands-on, and they were right. Okay. So for every little step along the way, if I needed help, or it was really good. This wasn't just like saying those things. They were following through.
They're well known for it. Yeah.
Yeah. For their service. Yeah. Are, yeah. And I've heard about that. Yeah. And it did turn out to be true. So you can't, the customer service experience is very much tied into making things accessible.
Yeah, it is. When you think about it.
Yeah.
What about you, Bob?
Just a couple thoughts. I guess for me, it's distractions and moving things. I mean, in the way I like Amazon, but in a way it's like overwhelming, and, you know, thank God for the filters and stuff, because, and sometimes those don't work as well as I would hope, but I think it is. It's like anybody that has moving stuff going on, and things are changing up a lot. And I remember, I don't know if either one of you ever saw this, there was a physical store that they were kind of making a point about sliders.
Yeah.
And what they do is they put out this long rack of clothes, and when somebody walked up to it, about 10 seconds later, it moved away.
I'd go nuts.
Yeah. And the people were looking at it, and they were like, you know, wait a minute, I was looking at this, and now what's this stuff in front of me? So,
right.
So, yeah, there's a lot of the motion that I think can be done without on e-commerce stores.
Right.
And there's not a lot that do it. But, I have different frustrations, you know. And it's one of those things that it's especially tiring when it's a site you don't have much options but to struggle through it.
Whether you're just starting to build that Woo shop for a client or looking to expand or scale an existing site, GoDaddy's e-commerce hosting solution is there for you and your projects. Expand a client store with access to thousands of extensions, or scale big time with conversion tools, multiple staff accounts, an integrated POS, marketplace integrations, and discounted shipping rates, plus a lot more. And if you continue to manage your site or you hand it over to the client, a single dashboard gives powerful tools such as online sales tracking and easy auto sync for all the store's inventory across the entire site. Plus, software, plugins, and extensions will be kept up to date, and regression and other testing is done continually to avoid site breakage. With that all said, keep your client sites humming along with e-commerce hosting from GoDaddy at GoDaddy.com.
I think it was someone from Funka. It's a big accessibility company in Scandinavia. That in accessibility, we tend to only focus on the groups with different disabilities who use assistive technology, but accessibility is about cognitive issues as well. And this is not just for people who have problems in their brain and in their perception when they're young, but also when you're getting old. And then he said it goes up to 60%, right? And I mean, Bob, I know you're buying expensive equipment for your shows. And I think Bud would do the same. And this is something that maybe we should give as a message to all these web shop owners. Do not think that you do not have an audience over 50, example. Sometimes I joke, you know, and say to web shop owners, man, I'm so happy you're inaccessible, because otherwise my mom would go bankrupt on you, right? So, and one last question that I have is, have you ever felt an impulse to, when you were on a web shop that really did frustrate you, but they do have the stuff that you need. Did you ever try to find a way to contact them? Did you ever get a feeling like, oh, I can actually give my feedback and they will do something with that? Did that ever happen?
You know, I think I might have in the past. I can't think of any particular instance, but, you know, sometimes you grab for the chat and some bot tells you something, then you got to wait for an agent, but the agent isn't there because they have certain working hours and, you know, you go in that vicious circle.
What about you, bot? But did you ever, like, you were somewhere on a shop or on a site and you really wanted something from them and you couldn't, and you wanted it so bad that you filled out their contact form, or maybe you did try to talk to their awful chat?
Well,
or
a modified answer to that would be, I used the Weight Watchers system for quite a long time. And then about a year ago, yeah, and it worked. And then they took away their desktop. So I was very upset about that because I couldn't use the mobile because it was too small. And you know, and I'd have to listen. You know.
Same here.
So I did actually reach out to them and said, okay, I guess you don't care about me or something. Yeah, somebody snippy. Mm-hmm. And they could have told me, and they didn't, that we are going to have an app that you can download for and use on your computer. And
really?
I left them for a year. I could have been paying them for a whole year. And recently I found out there's a desktop app for Weight Watchers.
There is
that works right in my Mac computer, and now I have it and I use it, and I signed up again. So they lost a whole year of revenue from me because they didn't, after I communicated with them, they did not communicate back. It says, well, wait a second, we still got you covered. You can use our download, our app for the desktop.
See, and now you see it. There is good intent on all sides, right? You wanted to use their app. You're happy with them. They had good intent because they were working on this app and someone in the middle screwed it up by not communicating with you.
Yeah. And it just, yeah, that's the bottom line. I mean, and these companies have to be, one last thing too about, I know we're running out of time, but one last thing. I have a very hard time when a website makes major design or even minor sometimes design changes to their user interface. Because I'm sort of like the Helen Keller school of browsing websites. That is, I know where everything is sort of tactily. You know, I don't necessarily read everything. I mean, I see things, but sort of like bits and pieces. Yeah. But if something's over here and now it's going to be over here, that's going to really make me.
That's like your supermarket refurbishing and putting everything everywhere. And I saw Bob nodding. I saw Bob. Yeah. That's you have a problem with that too, right?
Yeah, it is. It drives you nuts.
And that's a cognitive thing. That's a visual thing. That's a everything thing. But boy, companies, if you notice, Amazon does make changes, but they're very small. They're very subtle. Yeah. They A-B test the stuff till the cows come home every day.
Yeah.
And that's what I like. But I know companies can't always A-B test every little change, you know, across the fortune.
No, I know they can't. But a company, you know, the thing is, one of the reasons why I get upset when Amazon is not improving on certain things, I know they are. I would love to talk to them one day just to pick their brain about how they're doing it.
I once heard Jared Spruill. He's one of the guys that are involved in a big name in usability and design. And he was involved in the initial, one of the early stages. And he talked all about what you're just talking about. It was very interesting.
Well, and the one thing I think about is I have friends who are artists. And they used to be on Etsy, but Etsy became a cesspool of drop shipping from across the pond. And so they moved to Amazon. And every time I see it, I'm like, but guys, you should talk to Amazon about these things too, because then you will also sell more on Amazon as a channel if that gets better. And this is just that people should just talk to each other. And this is why I'm asking you guys, like, hey, did you ever feel like reaching out or something, because maybe we could give this as a message to anyone in e-commerce.
Yeah, when you talk about the cost of making sites accessible and all that kind of stuff, you have to think of the cost of not doing it.
Yeah, wow. The cost of not doing it is insane. I created I created a paper not so long ago. It's not about that. In fact, it's more about how do you recognize accessibility cowboys, you know, the charlatans, the people who are trying to sell you accessibility services where you don't know that they can. But at the bottom of that, I have listed an example of the ROI on accessibility, where I just took a shop that does 1.5 million a year. So they're below the threshold for the European Accessibility Act, for example. But I'm saying, like, what if you invest 20K in making things accessible or more accessible, and then what the ROI is, and in at 1.5%, at 5% more revenue, and 10%, those numbers are crazy. But
really?
I think, yes, they're crazy. But I think people don't know how to talk to each other about this or how to interact with their customers about this, because your customers as a store, whether you're physical or online, they are your biggest source of great feedback.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So, yeah, I would really, really say to web shops, hey, folks, even if you're not, you don't have to comply. You just like let money flush out of the door. You're absolutely.
But don't you think there's more awareness now than ever before about accessibility and that things are getting better, or are they getting?
Yeah, there is. But unfortunately, out of fear. You know, the ADA lawsuit, the European Accessibility Act that is coming in just a couple of months. People are afraid that they're going to get fined. But it's even if you're not in the threshold of that. So just so for anyone watching or listening to this, there's a lot of confusion about that, too. If your web shop makes more than $2 million per year in turnover, or you have more than 10 employees, it's not and it is or. Then you have to comply with the European Accessibility Act. But I don't understand how you would worry about that, because if you worry about that threshold, because if you make things accessible, actually the search engines are also going to love you much better. There's a cacophony in the search engines now because of AI, right? We hear all about that. And now I hear like, hey, the engines are really looking at product pages, the AI is. You have to improve your product pages because all these generally SEO optimized blog articles, it's not working anymore. It is looking at the real stuff. And
sorry, are you saying that markup doesn't matter anymore?
Markup matters more. No, but I'm talking about companies investing so much money in getting blog articles out there, which is good, but they have to be unique. It has to be unique content.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
You know, nobody likes listicles anymore.
No.
No. But that's a whole other topic. I think we have some great podcast hosts on Do the Woo who know a lot about that, right, Bob?
No kidding. But one thing I was going to add about, there can be somebody, I mean, the three of us, we have our issues, but we are comfortable with technology. Now, other people our age that maybe aren't on the computer all the time, aren't doing things, you know, the struggle they have. Mm-hmm. I can imagine, you know, when I'm on some sites, I think, wow, at least I kind of get what, you know, I should maybe do here, but it's not something you should normally think about.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it's what is an interesting thing, although this doesn't have anything to do with web shops, but there is this other side where people are hollering like, oh, we would like websites to be more artistic and to be more creative. But yeah, you can. But websites just have to work. It just has to work. It's like if I went into a technology store once that was really fancy, had just set up, it almost looked like an Apple store, but they didn't put the prices on their articles. You know how fast I walked out of there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's and this is the daily reality for people. Even if you have your pricing on the site and it's unclear, or this is, by the way, speaking of Amazon, and I can't tell them how to solve it. This is also a difficult part. One of the things it took me ages to discover, you go on Amazon and then they have these articles in different colors or clothes and in different sizes. Right. And then, for example, you're looking at these black pants and then it says it's not there in my size anymore. OK, it's not there. It's not doesn't have my size. And then by accident, I discovered when I clicked on another color, they did have that one in my size, but just in another color. Now, if I hadn't figured that out, I wouldn't have bought those pants because I did like them in black and in white. So that's a UI thing. I really think if web shops put and site owners in general would talk to their users and they would ask them how would things get better without trying to automate that. You know, it's more expensive to get a whole email automation thing going that will say, hey, look, I'm going to give you a $25 voucher if you tell me how you like my website. That's cognitive stress. You have to read that email. You have to log on. You have to type what you think or what you don't think. I don't know how many people are going to do that. I think lots of people are out of there. Mm-hmm. But what if you get someone that's just like someone outside the store, you know, and saying, hey, can I ask you something? I'm not going to sell you anything. And just nice and calm. I think you'd get a lot of feedback.
Yeah. Well, and Amazon's strange in a way, and I don't think they do price range because, like you were saying with pants, you could click on black pants and then click on the same pair in blue, and it's €2 more.
Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't aware of that. And then you're clicking through to see what prices are, mm-hmm. and it just seems like a time waster.
I feel cheated on when I see that, especially when the price goes up.
Yeah.
It's So... last question. If you could say something to webshop owners about this, what would you tell them? Just one thing.
I'm going to take that because that's, for me, an easy question. And it's very simple, which is when it comes to accessibility, you know, when you make something accessible, you make it possible for me to use and you make it better for everyone else. It's just that simple. And accessibility is a web design standard, so let's keep that in mind. And you can't go wrong when you make your website and content available for the widest possible audience.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. And you, Bob?
You know, I'm kind of lame with answers like that because I always go to my trite overall answers, but it's like... I'm sorry.
I thought mine was pretty trite, Bob.
But it's like... That I look at it and it's as simple as don't assume this is right for your audience.
About that, I have, about assumption, I have two last points and I'm going to send you the links, Bob, so we can put them in the show notes. About assumption, I created a YouTube video that is less than a minute. I think it's 47 seconds that shows a simulation of what people see when they're colorblind or when they're tired or when there's too much light outside.
Good one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and about the choice of certain colors. And I hear from people that is one of the biggest eye-openers ever where they assume that certain people don't come onto their website. So I'll share that in the show notes. And I want to end this nice conversation with something very positive. So 2 years ago, I wanted to create a video tutorial for the users of Elementor because Elementor did a great thing. They made giving feedback very open, very easy to do if you understand where you have to go to because they started using GitHub for that. And that's amazing because then you can see and you can follow where you're at and you can see if something happens with it or not. But at least that's that. And then I thought, maybe it's good to do a video tutorial for people who don't know anything about GitHub because that's really scary, right? They're all like, GitHub, that's tech stuff. We don't go there. And I had to do full stop because I hadn't seen the GitHub login experience since 2011. And so I got on there in an incognito window and suddenly I was like Captain Picard in Star Trek flying in space. There were stars coming at me and moving stuff. And I was like, oh no, this is horrible. This is going to chase so many people away, even though it was beautiful. So I wrote them a message in their special board that they have for accessibility. And I just let it sit there. And every 3 months, I would do a little pinprick online somewhere like, okay, I tried, but no one is answering. And suddenly, Carrie Fisher, one of the people I highly admire in accessibility who was hired by GitHub, wrote me an answer. And that was in August last year. And she said, bear with us, we're working on it. And on March 7, exactly to the date, 2 years after I posted that, Carrie wrote me a message on GitHub saying, have a look at our new sign-in experience and sign-up experience because we changed it. Let me know what you think. I've written a blog post about it. I will link it in the show notes as well because right now that sign-up experience shows every designer who says you can't create a beautiful, accessible website that they're wrong, that you can, that you have to think in other ways. It's amazing. It has animations, but they are not disruptive. And if you have a setting on your system that tells animations to stop, it's called reduced motion, they're just not there. So that made me cry. Not because I was sad, but because I was happy. And I wish for the world that everybody shares that page, that site, share it with everybody you know, saying you can create amazing, mesmerizing, beautiful design and still make something very accessible and for all usable. Yeah, that's the positive note I want to go out with, because as accessibility people, we're always treated like, oh, there's someone coming to knock at us again. And again, thank you, Bob, for giving people like me a platform. I'd like to invite everybody to come and comment on the Do the Woo website if you have questions, or come find us on LinkedIn, on Twitter. And there's one thing you need to know about Bud. Bud is doing a fantastic podcast. It's called Seriously, Bud?
Yes, and Bob was on it, and you are going to be on it.
Yes, yes. So it's lovely. And so we will share that link in the show notes as well, because there you get to know the people in WordPress not talking about it. So thank you, everyone. And I hope you join in the next time. Everybody's going to share. And if you want to come onto the show because you have to say something about accessibility, or if you want to reach out to the e-commerce and WooCommerce market in general about this topic of UI and UX, let us know.